Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred. And the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy 94.9.
Is nothing sacred?
Hi there, Joysters. This is Jim, and you're with us on Is Nothing Sacred tonight. And I'm in a really crowded studio tonight. There's Pat on the dials and the knobs and the sliders and things like that. And we've got sitting around the table Steph and Kurt, who are part of our regular team. Hello, Steph.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, Kurt.
Hello, Jim.
And I've got Raina, who's from Technogaze, coming in to have a bit of a chat with us tonight. Hello,
hey,
Raina.
Hey, hey.
And we've got Nurse James, one of our regular listeners and a regular texterinner of On Joy programs, but we've snaffled him up as one of our co-hosts for tonight.
Hey, guys.
Hello,
thanks,
James,
for having me back.
And we've got Ordiz, who's microphoneless at the moment, but she will be talking soon, and she is going to be talking about her fabulous new show that she's going to be running soon. And tonight we're going to be talking about stereotyping and all sorts of things like that. But we really, really want to thank Christian and the Vixen Hour for their last show of this grid. Everybody's crying, and there are lots of messages on the message board here for Christian saying how fantastic his show was and how well it's been done. And we have to tell Robert on the front desk, thanks Robert for being on the front desk, that you need to save all the farewell emails for the Vixen Hour so that they can be put in a folder for Christian and his team. And we want you, listeners, to contact us on 0427, so you can SMS us on 0427-JOY-949, or you can phone Robert out on the front desk on 1300-JOY-949, or you can email us onair@joy.org.au, and you can talk to us about anything you like to talk to us about stereotyping tonight, because that's what we're going to talk about. So you're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and it's 6 minutes past 10.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
So, stereotyping. Jim.
Yes, well, one of the things we wanted to talk about, we started talking about this last week. In fact, we've talked about it a few times, is where does stereotyping come from and what does it actually do? Is it dangerous? And there is stereotyping, and one of the things that we talked about in the gay community was the sort of stereotyping that various people in the gay community lived with or suffered from. And early on in our shows, when we first introduced Kurt onto the show, we talked a bit about stereotyping. Then, Kurt, have you had to live with stereotyping in your life?
Not really, actually. I think I'm quite hard to stereotype, Jim.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're doing it right now, aren't you? You're trying to put me in a box?
I'm stereotyping him now. He's wearing a fluorescent orange T-shirt and worker's boots with a really pathetic attempt at fluorescent socks.
They're just a bit dirty, that's all.
Is that what they are? Raina, do you get stereotyped working in the technical area?
Goodness, all the time.
Because girls don't know anything about technology, do they?
Oh, so right. Right, like girls are just like interested in fashion and social media. I don't know.
Good thing you're a lesbian, that's all I can say.
Jim, I've got to tell you a thing. I'm bisexual. Which of course comes with its own stereotypes though, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does.
It
does. Make your mind up.
You can't be a cat person and a dog person, I've heard. So,
can in my house.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, so Jim, as a cat person and a dog person, you should understand very well about bisexuality.
Oh, as a father, I think I understand about it quite well.
But back to the technology thing, though. So, I mean, yeah, you do get a few stereotypes. That's a whole sort of, you know, socially awkward, you know, doesn't really know much about people. You know, the boys can't really talk to girls, you know. the girls are all, you know, dressed kind of funny and Birkenstocks-y and stuff like that. You know, there's quite a lot of that sort of thing going on, and that real sort of, you know, oh, God, I've got to call the IT department. Oh, there's such a bunch of spods. You know, like, there's a lot of that sort
but
of stuff that goes on.
Those boys on techno gays treat you fairly respectfully, don't they?
They do. I mean, this is the thing. You know, within the industry, look, there's still a lot of awful stuff that goes on. But within the industry, like, I think most guys that have been, you know, in the industry more than a few years know that, yeah, us girls are there and we can match it. And honestly, the guys that don't feel that way are, you know, yeah, sometimes they still get there and there are a lot of problems going on. But of course, you know, most people are pretty reasonable.
James, what about you?
And I guess I see a lot of stereotyping in mental health as well. You know, the stigma that's attached to people with mental illness, the whole idea that, you know, people with mental illness are all homeless and they're all, you know, they've got no jobs. There's a lot of stereotyping goes on.
But, I mean, is stereotypes necessarily a bad thing? Perhaps it's perhaps stereotypes exist because they are reality for a whole lot of people, and that they come from the reality of people's lived experience.
Look, we kind of do this thing where, you know, we kind of make assumptions based on, you know, past experiences with people. Goodness, there's some beeping.
I can hear beeping through my headphones.
My goodness.
Sorry, guys, that's me.
So popular, we can't wait to talk to you.
We've had to throw our guest host out of the studio because he's beeping.
But, I mean, even then, that's, you know, we do these sorts of things sometimes as a bit of a shortcut, right? Like, you kind of make these sorts of shortcut assumptions about things because it can be, sometimes it can be helpful. It's not every stereotype is a bad stereotype, but the way that you use stereotypes probably is the thing that makes it a bit shonky.
You're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and yes, we'll come back to that topic in just a minute.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9.
Hi, Joysters. You are on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred. This is Jim and I'm here with Pat and Steph and Kurt and Raina and Nurse James and Eldice, and we're talking about stereotypes along with other things tonight. And I just wanted to ask, following up that last little discussion we had, Raina, in the technology area, when online gaming became big, you know, there were all those myths about girls don't like gaming, they can't do it, they won't do it, and all that. So I used to watch my daughter, who was about 16 at the time, sitting down shooting things on her computer all the time. I thought, oh dear, she's going to be a lesbian. How lucky I am, and guess what?
She wasn't.
There's a stereotype.
Isn't she wildly successful, though? I think we all know that she is.
They both are wildly successful, but this is the other one.
Ah, right. So, okay, so yeah, gaming. So let's talk about some stereotypes with gaming, right? So, that's one of the things that, oh, yeah, girls aren't interested in gaming, you know, or if they are, they're interested in, say, Farmville or whatever.
And SimCity.
Yeah, that's right.
I really liked SimCity in the 90s.
I liked the old PC version of it where you had to build it.
Oh. I like SimCity. What are we talking about?
No, it's great fun. That's the thing. Everyone loves SimCity because SimCity is not one of those things that is only for girls. But, you know, there's that perception. But the other thing that you get on the other side of things is some pretty ugly sort of stereotyping that goes on when you do go online. And goodness me, you don't want to go online and reveal that you are, you know, female identified or whatever, because people will be out to get you. And in fact,
you'll be shot.
What do you mean by out to get you?
Let me tell you. So there's an example. It's on a website and it's called, and I'm going to say a pretty awful word here, fat, ugly or slutty.com, and that being the assumption. It's like, well, oh, you're online, you're on Xbox Live, you're playing, oh, you beat me, oh, you must be fat, you must be ugly, oh, you massive dyke, whatever, like all these awful things that get said about you, you know, and oh, you know, blah 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 blah. And it's, you know, I mean, that's the sort of stereotype that maybe doesn't necessarily serve the majority of male gamers either, but you know, you've got this kind of reverse stereotype going on. Oh, all male gamers who play game, you know, Call of Duty or whatever, are massive DHs. Because
but what
that's
about
what
inside
like.
The inside the games? Are the stereotype characters inside the games as well?
Oh yeah, there can be. Look, a lot of games can sort of do that. Although, really, the trend I think more with certainly with RPGs, so role playing games and things, is that they're really trying to write characters that are a little bit more well rounded. And I mean, I'm a massive fan of all the BioWare games, for example, which is a company based out of Canada and a few other places now. And all of their stories, I mean, they really kind of you know, set the tone for lots of good representation. You know, different genders, different sexualities, stuff like that in their games.
Yeah, I'm not a gamer, but I've heard there's gay characters in they're kissing and doing all sorts of things.
Oh, they're doing a bit more than kissing, mate.
Really?
My
really?
Goodness. Some of the, not quite, but some of those games are, you know, I mean, they're not really for small children. And so, you know, they do deal with adult things. And some of those adult things do include that you might be having a same-sex relationship. And that's great.
Amazing. It is amazing.
But that in itself could be stereotyped, couldn't it?
In what way?
Well, it could be stereotyped into certain types of gay men interacting. And I remember listening to the Bears a couple of weeks ago talking about how there were very few bear characters in games.
Right. That's probably true. I reckon that probably is true.
But, I mean, for games, I mean, not that I'm a gamer, but even just looking at something like Nintendo Wii, where you can create your own character, it means that you can make it to her look however you want, which I think creates
some
flexibility.
What does yours look like, Steph?
Oh, you know, it looks like me. Brown, frizzy hair, uncoordinated, can't throw a frisbee, you know. Oh. Me!
Isn't that an avatar? I thought that was an avatar.
Yeah, avatar.
Yes.
And it can hit a tennis ball, though.
Oh, yeah, very good at table tennis, just saying. I used to be high school table tennis captain, so, you know, watch out, Jim.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of stereotypes and how I'm not daggy at all. But, yeah, I guess the point is that there's increasing opportunities for people to represent themselves online, both in the way they look and also
that's right.
interacting with other people as themselves.
Look, it's a great opportunity to tell a story that includes you. In ways it doesn't. And that can, you know, it's increasingly beginning to include different things. I mean, on Technogaze, which is our show on Saturday, we have interviewed, you know, various people about different things. We talked about gamers and stuff like that. We had a chat with Luke. I want to say his name's... I'm sorry, I've forgotten his surname, so I probably shouldn't misname him there. But we talked about his game, which is, you know, fully it's about Captain Minogue, who is the captain of a big gay spaceship going out and having big gay adventures. Luke Miller,
yeah,
thank you, Patrick. That is his name. Yes, Patrick interviewed him as well. So sorry, I'm just forgetting that you can't hear Patrick very well, because so he's miming away. But yeah, Luke Miller, that's right. So and he did some great stuff there. And, you know, just releasing that game even then had to overcome so many horrible comments. You know, put it up on Steam Greenlight, which is a service where you can chuck your game up and go, hey, you know, if enough people vote for this, you know, should I chuck it up on Steam? You know, should I, you know, spend a bit more time on it? And just the sheer amount of gross stuff that used to get said to him about that. Even now people are talking about it and going, yeah, who wants to see that? I'm a bit scared of that. But, you know, that's terrible.
So is there homophobia in the gaming community?
Oh, there's homophobia everywhere.
Yeah,
that's
true.
But, I mean, yeah, there can be. And I think there's a lot of, you know, this is a terrible thing to say because it sounds a bit sort of stereotypy, but there's a lot of, you know, macho, blokey, alpha man sort of thing going, I don't want to see them sort of stuff. On the other hand, I mean, okay, so Queer Geeks of Oz, which is related to another show, Sci-Fi and Scream, posted this great quote, which I'm going to read out. I'm a lesbian and Dragon Age is still a beacon to me. When it first came out, and so did I, and a lot of people alienated me, and I didn't have any friends, and there was only my Xbox. Origins was magical. I could have a character that looked like me and romance a woman. It was a lifeline I desperately needed for my sanity. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is so
powerful
good.
Stuff
those guys, frankly, when you have stories like that.
And I think as well, something else, when I was a teenager, I was 14 and I had an X-Files fan page. And
did you?
That was, I did, yes. I thought it was pretty good. We won awards. It was all written in HTML and JavaScript, like by hand without a coding program.
Why aren't you on Technogaze, lady? Come on.
I think that was the peak of my technological, you know, amazingness, which was not very high. But yeah, I guess as a teenager who wasn't out, even out to myself, I didn't really know what was going on. I found a very supportive, I'd say queer-friendly community among the X-Files fans online. And that was a very important, I guess.
The hots for Agent Mulder?
Not so
Mulder?
Much. Maybe
no,
Agent
we
Scully.
Had the hots for Agent Mulder.
Yeah, I was a bit of a fan, the redhead, yep.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly was a very, very supportive community and played quite a large role in me coming out.
Yeah, fandom is amazing that way.
Find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
I want to talk about how we inadvertently stereotype people, and so I'm going to ask Aldiz, who's sitting here with a fabulous, fabulous T-shirt on that says...
It is an excellent T-shirt.
Butchers give me a lady boner. Are you stereotyping yourself, Aldiz, there?
I think I'm making fun of the stereotype. Because I'm definitely not butch, but I am femme, and my partner is butch. And so together...
Does she know that?
Yes. And together we make the atypical lesbian stereotype. I think more than anything, our couple, our form of couple, is what straight society pictures a lesbian couple to be like.
Do you live in the inner north?
No.
Uh-oh.
So I'm not that typical of a lesbian.
Do you have a rescue cat?
Not yet.
Are you planning on getting a rescue cat?
Maybe one day.
Well, as our friend Kirsty Arific would say, is it going to be called Piper?
No.
And would you describe yourself as a lipstick lady? I think that's another stereotype that you hear a lot of these days.
No, I identify as a high femme.
High femme.
Yeah, so that's about two steps above a lipstick lesbian. So right. It goes lipstick, lesbian, femme, and then high femme.
Does this mean you're into fashion?
No, a high femme means that I am a little bit high maintenance. I'm a bit of a princess. I do
takes
wear
you more than 2 hours to get ready and to
some shower. Days, yes. If you
how long
to
do you spend in the shower?
I spend about an hour getting ready in the morning, an hour like going to bed, moisturising, showering, all that kind of stuff. But if you were to see me out and about on the weekend and I've got my makeup done and all of that kind of stuff, it takes me anywhere from an hour and a half to about 4 hours to get ready.
4 hours to get ready?
I'm a makeup and body artist, and so sometimes I have all of the makeup on and like body art and Patrick.
Yeah, well, sorry, I just wanted to point out that Eldisa's makeup is some of the most fantastic that you will ever see.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Yeah, I did the when we did the outside broadcast at La Trobe last week, I mean, it was all decked out. We had the Damontis on the eyes.
And can I just say that that was a bitch, because we met here at 8 o'clock in the morning and I was up at 5:30 to get ready.
Oh,
it
no.
was ridiculous, but totally worth it.
I'm getting a picture of this high femme thing going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly. And so I am high maintenance. I have a birthday party on the weekend. I'm going as Cinderella, and it has taken me months to find my costume. And so that in itself
have you
is
got
a stereotype.
Crystal slippers?
I do.
Real crystal slippers?
Well, not real crystal slippers, but they're glass slippers. And so that in itself is a stereotype. And then when you put me with my partner who loves to wear a suit, then...
Do you feel like because there's so many stereotypes, though, that sometimes I feel like by, I guess, embodying one type of stereotype, you're challenging another? Like if you have the kind of overall stereotype of, oh, you know, lesbians are ugly, or lesbians don't wear makeup, whatever it is, that in doing that, you're challenging that every day.
Definitely. I think that the main stereotype that I fight is that I am very girly and that I'm not a feminist. I go against my feminist ways because I am the atypical housewife and I like to cook dinner and look after my partner and those kind of things. And constantly fighting that stereotype because people look at me and a lot of especially men look at me and say, because I wear rockabilly dresses and I have a cute little apron at home, and they're like, well, you're not what a 21st century woman should be.
Nor are you what a lesbian should be.
No, definitely not, because I don't have Converse and, you
and
know.
You're not wearing Birkenstocks with socks.
No, I'm not.
So what do you say to those people who say this is not what a 21st century woman should be?
I say to them, like, point out the average 21st century woman. First of all, I'm not an average person. I'm Maltese. you know. But there are so many different variations of what a woman is these days that you can't really pin one person down and say, you're not a woman, you're not what a woman should be. You know, just looking at yourself, Raina, and myself, all three of us completely different people, yet we're all still women. So,
and
I don't know.
We're all still radio announcers.
We're all still radio announcers. And we will be discussing topics like this on my new show, Sapphic City, which will be...
I was going to ask you about your new show, Sapphic
yes,
City.
Well,
when does it start?
Next week, 9 o'clock next Monday night. And I'm so excited. And we will be tackling another stereotype, which is the 6 degrees of separation in the lesbian community.
That is true. I'd say it's less than 6 degrees of separation.
Yes.
In fact, sometimes when I meet someone for the first time and I want to know if they're queer, I look them up on Facebook to see if we have any mutual friends. If they're queer, we usually do.
Isn't all the time.
Stalking?
It is
stalking.
It's great.
That's why it's called stalking.
Face stalking.
My housemate is from London and she's new to the area, and she came home the other day and she's like, I met this girl. And so we first thing we did, looked her up on Facebook. She was not there. We could not find her, and she's straight.
Yeah. So you assume that they're straight if you don't have
and
any queer friends in common. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stereotypically, Jim, I don't think you're going to be invited on Sapphic City.
I don't know. I used to fight the stereotypes because I never hid the fact that I had children, and so I would go to gay community events with little kids in the days before lesbians had lots of children.
Well, see, now we've all got children.
And gay men. Lots of gay men. My yes. friends have right. got kids.
And I would always talk about my kids because the stereotype I had was that the way I could get rid of men who I didn't want to be with was to talk about my kids because they'd run a mile straight away.
Good tactic.
Oh, Jim.
They did.
We're going to go to some messages, but we want to hear what you think about stereotyping. If you've been stereotyped, if you enjoy challenging the stereotype or embodying the stereotype, text us on 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au. It is 28 minutes to 11.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Is Nothing Sacred? With Pat, James, Kurt and Steph. Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred? This is Jim. I'm here with Nurse James, Eldice from the new show Sapphic City that starts next Tuesday at 9, is that right, Eldice?
Monday
at 9, sorry about that. And Kurt, who's got his new show Transpositioning, which is...
That's correct, it's Tuesday nights Tuesday. From 9 p.m.
Right,
okay. And I hope you're all listening.
And we've got... And Steph is here. And I don't
have a new show. I'm just going to be here. We're going to be back next season. Is Nothing Sacred?
We are.
Yay. We weren't cancelled. Hooray. Thank you to everyone who listened to us. We're very excited. Feel very lucky.
Text us in or email us on air at joy.org.au or ring Robert out on the front desk at 1300-JOY-949 and tell us if you're enjoying the show or whether you're a stereotype or whether or not you'd like to join our table on the trivia.
For anyone who missed the announcement before, there is trivia happening. You are invited as a Joy listener. It's happening at the Eureka Hotel this Sunday. No, yes, Sunday, April 6th at 1 p.m. It's $20 per person. Call 1300-JOY-949 to book your seat.
It's the big fundraiser for Joy.
Big fundraiser. But I want to hear a bit more about the new shows coming up. Can you tell us a bit more about Sapphic City?
So Sapphic City, it started, I write a blog called Sapphic City, and so it's a no-holds-bar lesbian issues blog, and so that's what the show is going to be. It's no filter, it's on after 9, so we can talk about whatever we want pretty much. So like I said, the first show is about 6 degrees of separation, but I also have shows called The Vagina Monologues, which is a series that I do. So we talk about everything from sex to health to grooming, also stereotypes, so butch femme. I wrote a letter called Dear Butch Love Femme a couple of weeks ago and got fantastic feedback from that. So we'll be doing a show on that, and I'll have weekly guests on to talk about who are part of that show. So part of that area. So I'll have butch women on to talk about butch versus femme. And,
so can that stereotyping, you know, women who are butch and are really, really present as butch women, is that a form of stereotyping that actually challenges and therefore breaks down stereotyping, or is it something that perpetuates stereotyping?
I think that when society sees a butch woman, there are a lot of stereotypes on her, that being just purely from looking at her. If you're not familiar with butch women, then you think, oh my God, she's a diesel dyke, or she's really hard and like really scary. But then when you get to know butch women and you realize that they're all kind of soft and cuddly on the inside, and they're big teddy bears, then that breaks down the gender, the stereotype. So you really need to, I think that breaking down stereotypes is about getting to know the person behind the stereotype.
But I think it's great that we're going to have an uncompromisingly lesbian show on Joy on the airwaves.
Yeah, and I'm very excited.
The other new show that we've got coming up is Transpositioning with Kurt. Kurt?
Transpositioning, it's called Transpositions.
Transpositions,
9 p.m. Tuesday night,
and Kurt,
starting next week.
As a trans man, do you think that trans people have to cope with a lot of stereotyping? And
I certainly think male to female trans people do, just on the fact that they don't pass as easily, so they're seen as trans, whereas I'm not really seen as trans to a lot of people, apart from the people that I'm out to. So I guess you guys could stereotype me if you wanted to, but I think that this sort of community...
We've gotten over it.
I'm sure.
Gotten, exactly.
I'm sure you'd fight that too.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Well, let me pick you up on something. Isn't the whole discussion about whether people pass or not actually part of a stereotyping? It's not a very nice concept, is it, to say do you pass well?
Yeah, yeah.
You are or you aren't, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's not really any other word to use apart from pass, because that's sort of one thing that trans people are trying to achieve, is to go undetected as the gender that they are in their mind. Sorry, that all just came out wrong then. But yeah, there is room for stereotyping there.
And so are you going to be sort of tackling those topics on trans positions?
We're going to be tackling all sorts of topics. The scope on trans issues is just so broad. There's just so much to talk about, and it could be endless. But I really wanted to make it a friendly show for people, a routine for people, and something that, you know, if you're a listener, you could be interactive and email and text in and tell us your thoughts.
And are Melbourne's trans celebrities all lining up to come on your show?
I hope so. If you're a trans celebrity and you're listening, contact me and you can come on the show.
We've had a few of them on this show in the past. And
we have, yeah.
And they've been great guests. And so hopefully they will be joining your show at some stage, and we'll listen to them.
Yep, and I'd like to have you on at some stage, Jim. And Steph and Patrick, you're all welcome.
As honorary non-trans people.
Oh, that's correct, yeah.
Honorary cisgendered allies.
This next grid is starting to sound really exciting.
It is.
All these new shows.
Yeah. I think it does sound really, really exciting. You're on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. It's 22 minutes to 11 at the moment. And please do send us a text, somebody. Hurry up.
There's something we were talking about before I wanted to go back to about the idea of identity, which I think has come up in talking about stereotypes, and particularly when you're talking before about butch and femme stereotypes and identities. And I was interested to know about what, like, it sounds like you feel like quite connected to the identity of being femme and being a high femme.
Yep.
What do you, like, can you talk a bit about why that's important to you to have that identity? I suppose just in terms of, because if someone asked me if I was butch or femme, I'd go, oh, I don't know, both. I don't know, neither.
Why do you want to know?
Well, and I'm interested to know about, your identity, because it seems like it's really important to you and valuable in the way you live your life.
I think I spent a long time trying to find who I was. And I tried, when I first came out, I tried looking butch and like how I thought a lesbian should look, because I'm from Newcastle. There are not a lot of lesbians in Newcastle. And it took me, well, like,
what about
I said,
at the Star?
At the Star?
Yeah.
I left Newcastle when I was about 19, so I have no idea what that is.
It's a pub.
Oh, there you go. But I, like I said, I tried all of these different looks, and when I finally found what was comfortable for me, it took me a long time to find a label for it. I wasn't looking for a label for it, but one of my friends said, oh, you're a femme. And I was like, yeah, okay. And then when I started to get deeper into the lesbian community and I found the term high femme and I read the definitions and I'm like, that's me. That's so me. And it's nice to have, I don't have an identity so people can put me into a box. I have an identity so that I have something to ground myself to, which is important to me, and I don't care how anybody else sees me. And I ask my friends, like some friends, when I first meet them, how do you identify? Not because I want to know how society should see them, but because I like to know how they think of themselves. Which is important to me. Like, how do you see yourself when you look in the mirror? Like, you could have a face full of makeup and still see yourself as butch.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it gives a bit of an indication of how people relate to others as well.
Yeah.
You're on Joy 94.9 on Is Nothing Sacred.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Is Nothing Sacred with Pat, James, Kurt and Steph. Joy 94.9.
Hello, Joysters. It is 10:45 and you are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
And we're on the Homewood Run now, and so we're talking about stereotypes, people. Nurse James, you called me this morning because you were concerned about stereotyping, and particularly celebrity stereotyping. So
absolutely. What I want to have a conversation about is whether or not it's okay for people to use, people who are celebrities, to use their celebrity status to kind of abuse and push stereotypes that we're all busy trying to fight in many ways. You know, my kind of longest life commitment has been fighting stereotypes.
So and is this like drag queen celebrities or
any of them? I mean, even the comedians, you know, like when comedians get funny on look, let's talk about, you know, stand-up comedy. We know stand-up comedy is offensive. You go and
it
you know
be.
Well, exactly, you know that that's what you're going to get. But when comedians then take those kind of provocative, you know, disagreeable and sometimes really unpleasant type stereotypes and
so are we talking about comedians who were queer-identified comedians or straight comedians who were imitating gay people?
Well, for me, primarily, I think today it came up that the gay-identified comedians were, you know, then, you know, giggling and promoting this kind of awfulness. There's a very famous comedian coming to Melbourne soon who I won't mention his name, but he's made his career out of being horrible to people.
And he's very, very funny.
And when he's funny, he's extremely funny. And when he's not, he's extremely cruel. You know, and when it misses, his sense of humour can be really obnoxious.
But surely that sort of stereotyping actually provides a different image to the world in terms of normalising some sorts of behaviour.
But see,
I always think that drag queens normalise the behaviour of effeminate men, and that opens up space for effeminate men to be.
I don't know if that's true, because being a drag queen is imitating being a woman, which is very different to being a man and being able to be camp as a man.
Not all of them,
and it's not offensive. I don't think drag queens are offensive. Some do use their humour to be offensive, and they are. But you know, there are many. I mean, one of my closest friends is a drag queen, and I don't think I've ever, you know, been aware of that person being offensive in their show. They're talented, they're clever, and you know, maybe I shouldn't say, but that's Polly from Circuit. Never offensive.
But there used to be a big debate about the parodying of women by drag queens that exercised a lot of airtime. Well, not airtime, because we didn't have a radio station in those days, but a lot of hot air in the gay community around in the discussions that we used to have around community, about whether there could be one community, whether lesbians and gay men could be part of one community or not. Because drag queens were always seen to be dragging it down.
And I guess the stereotype there is that, you know, that they are offensive, and that they're, you know, for a lot of gay men, I know friends who say, I just don't get the whole drag thing. Why does it have to be? And, you know, there's a stereotype there, like the butch guys don't like the drag queens.
But the Julian Clarys of this world actually push boundaries and make it easier for other people to exist.
They
That's
do,
what
but
I
they
think.
Can also be really offensive. The program that got him famous when he was on track and when he was funny and witty, he was very, very clever. And when he wasn't, he humiliated people and made a real, you know, made it really offensive.
So just to kind of broaden it out a bit, so what about something like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, which was kind of the beginning of mainstream
stereotyping
hideous.
Like crazy.
Hideous.
Well, that's the thing. But on the other hand, it raised awareness and everyone loved him and everyone wanted to have a gay best friend so that they could, you know, get fashion tips. Isn't that worse? Isn't that better than being hated?
But wasn't it mockery? Wasn't Queer Eye for the Straight Guy? I mean, they were actually sending up the poor suckers that got on the show.
But they were sending up the straight guys too, as like the guys who didn't know what was going on, the guys who needed a hand from their queer friend.
Yeah. But they were pushing a boundary, I think, and so. And I think that stereotyping is actually useful.
They made the gay man chic. That's what they did. They made every straight girl want a gay handbag. That's what they did.
and of course,
I mean, I'm not saying that's right. I don't like those kind of
stereotype all in itself.
Exactly. But
isn't that what lipstick lesbians were in the lesbian community? They gave a lesbian community a bit of cred and a bit of acceptability.
Made it look prettier, more mainstream.
Made it look more acceptable for
more acceptable for gay men in this world than it is for lesbians, because gay men are seen by straight girls as, like I said, as a really cute handbag, whereas people look at lesbians and go, what do we do with you? You're two girls that love two girls. Whereas I think a lot of straight women, I'm stereotyping straight women here, but straight women look at gay men and they don't see a gay couple, they see a new girlfriend. Mm.
And that's proven by the things like they'll say, I'm fine with my gay friends as long as they don't kiss or tell me about their sex life.
Yeah, or
that's
one of the issues. This is my new gay boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, or... You know, I have so many straight girlfriends that will say that I've got a new gay boyfriend, and I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure he's got a boyfriend of his own.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You're with James, Kurt, Steph and Pat on Is Nothing Sacred? Joy 94.9.
You're on Is Nothing Sacred and Joy 94.9. This is Jim and I'm here with Pat and Steph and Nurse James. And in the studio has just walked in the Wonder Cub Luke, who's going to be the top tonight on the woods. Is that right, Luke? Just to stereotype someone?
Yeah, that makes Mark the bottom, which I'm okay with. That's fine, yeah.
We've been talking about stereotypes on tonight's show, so yes,
we didn't actually get around to talking about tops and bottoms, and but the bottom is looking in the window now.
And Luke's just walked right into the most obvious one of them all.
I know, I just completely, I probably did exactly what you wanted me to do, which is great, so yeah, thanks
exactly.
for that.
Exactly. So what is going to be on the woods tonight?
So on the woods tonight, we're reminiscing a bit actually, so we've been on the air for 3 months now, which is great, and so we've got a couple of clips from interviews that we really enjoyed, and we've also got a couple of the guys from the recent Taste of Radio course who'll be joining us on the show.
Oh, that's great.
So I'll put them through their paces as well, which should be good.
And we just listened before I rushed into that from Simona Capitolina, who is a Melbourne singer, songwriter.
Who was on Joy recently.
Was on Joy recently and is going to be on Little Fish soon, we believe, with her song Still. And I thought that was good. Very, very sort of electronica technical music, but a great sort of
struggling with the word referencing
the 90s, really, wasn't it?
We do love the 90s.
She'll probably hate me for that, but anyway, sorry about that, Simona. You can come and slap me later.
This is the final show for this grid for Is Nothing Sacred, the end of summer in Joy terms. But we will be back. We will be back next week into the autumn season. We're still very sad. If you missed the news, the Vixen Hour finished up tonight with their final show. So we were very sad that Christian will be leaving us. But starting next week, we'll have Sapphic City just before us. So I think they'll be good neighbours.
I think it's going to be a really good neighbour. As well as that, we also are, Kurt is moving over to his own show. So he'll be scaling back on Transposition on Tuesdays at 9, which is great. Just big thank you to all our guests this evening. Obviously, guest host Nurse James, thank you very much for coming on air.
There's a stereotype for you.
And also a huge thank you to LDs, to Raina as well coming on. And look forward to seeing you guys next grid on Is Nothing Sacred.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.